We read the word of the Lord this morning as we find it in the book of Ruth. We'll be reading Ruth chapter 3, the whole of the chapter. But before we read Ruth 3, I want to read two verses from Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 5 and 6. I think I mentioned to some of you to all of you, but not everyone got it because I didn't pronounce it clearly enough. Deuteronomy 25, 5 to 10, we have a provision in the law of the Lord of the covenant for what is known as the kinsman redeemer. And so I want to read that before we read our passage, Ruth 3, and look at that passage together this morning. Deuteronomy 25, verses 5 and 6. Hear now this word of the Lord. If brothers dwell together and one of them dies and has no son, the wife of the dead man shall not be married outside the family to a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in to her and take her as his wife and perform the duty of a husband's brother to her. And the first son whom she bears shall succeed to the name of his dead brother, that his name may not be blotted out of Israel. And now we turn to Ruth chapter 3. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not seek rest for you that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative with whose young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your cloak and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." And she replied, "All that you say, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. Then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight, the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." And he said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer, yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight, and in the morning, if he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then, as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning." So she laid his feet until the morning, but arose before one could recognize another. And he said, "Let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." And he said, "Bring the garment you are wearing and hold it out." So she held it, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then she went into the city, and when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "How did you fare, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, "These 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said to me, 'You must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" She replied, "Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today." May the Lord bless this reading and our hearing of his word this morning. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, let me remind you of something that I've been reminding you of as we've looked together at the book of Ruth, and that is the story needs to be followed very carefully, but it is part of a larger story that we never want to lose our perspective upon. God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is preparing in the course of redemptive history all things for the day of the coming of our Redeemer, our kinsman Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is a kinsman of Ruth, Boaz, Naomi, and Elimelech. This is a story, if I may put it that way, of the family of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's also your and my story. We come into the story much later in the context of the fulfillment of much of what is promised us here. But we must read it as a story of what God is doing and will do in the salvation of his people through our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the other thing I've been mentioning to you is you have to follow the storyline. You mustn't miss the detail. You must give your attention to the way in which God, by his grace and in his steadfast love, his loving kindness toward his people, is bringing them to himself and granting to them their blessings, their inheritance, among those who belong to his household, his family. And we see in this chapter, chapter 3, the story is coming near to its, you might say, conclusion or its climax in the redemption of Naomi and the family of her deceased husband Elimelech, together with her daughter-in-law, the Moabite Ruth, and their family after them, including the birth ultimately of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, these aren't really points, but they're really stages, as I used the language last week, in the story as it unfolds in this chapter. And so the first thing we're going to notice is the scheme, the risky scheme that Naomi devised through her daughter-in-law Ruth to find redemption. Naomi's risky scheme. Now in the bulletin it says, Ruth meets Naomi's kinsman redeemer. As we'll see, meets there is somewhat euphemistic. It's true, quite literally so, but the circumstances of the meeting are rather striking. That's the first thing. The second thing we're going to consider is what Boaz calls, in comparison to the kindness that Ruth had exhibited in providing for her mother-in-law through the gleaning that took place in the previous chapter, for her mother-in-law and for her need in the city of Bethlehem, Ruth's, as he puts it, greater kindness. And then lastly, we'll notice Boaz's readiness to be kinsman redeemer. We're told in verse 1 that Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law, says to her, you've been told already in the preceding chapter by way of a kind of opening caption, pay attention, reader, as the story unfolds, I want you to know something about this Boaz fellow who lives in Bethlehem and who is a relative of Elimelech, Naomi's deceased husband, that he is a kinsman, a near relative, redeemer. And so that's the context here. Naomi, her mother-in-law, says to Ruth, my daughter, she's heard about how she's gleaned in the field of Boaz, her kinsman redeemer, should I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative with whose young women you were gleaning in the season of the harvest, with whose young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash therefore and anoint yourself and put on your cloak, your garment, and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Now, what is Naomi up to? Is she a scheming mother-in-law who's looking out for the well-being of her daughter? Well, in some way, perhaps she is. But more than that, she's motivated by the desire, having heard that Boaz, a worthy man, son of the covenant, the Lord of the covenant, a servant of that Lord, that it was in his field, and he's a relative of her deceased husband, Elimelech. Now, you need to pay a little attention here for a moment to the provision in God's old covenant law for a kinsman redeemer. If you were paying attention to the reading of Deuteronomy 25, you will notice that when a man marries a woman in Israel and he dies, though they are childless, and if he has in his family other brothers, the next brother in line, the near kinsman, the brother-in-law of the widow's deceased husband, is under obligation to look out for the well-being of his brother and his brother's widow. So that marrying his brother's widow and giving birth with her by the Lord's provision of a child, a son, the property that belonged to the deceased brother would be preserved not in the one who plays the role of kinsman redeemer's name, but in the name of his deceased brother. His name will be preserved, and his property, his allotment, his inheritance among God's people will be secured. The idea is that among God's people, the people of Israel, with whom he covenants and whom he redeemed out of their bondage in Egypt and brought to the promised land, the Lord gave them a name and a place. Each of the families in Israel was given a portion, with the exception of the tribe of Levi, who symbolically represented the truth that ultimately it's not the land, but the Lord himself who is the portion of his people. So even if dispossessed with the Lord, one is rich. But nonetheless, for the name and the retaining of the property granted to the family, in this case, of Elimelech, Naomi's deceased husband, Ruth, her daughter-in-law, needs to find such a brother or kinsman who would be willing to marry her. For the benefit of preserving, providing a descendant in the line of Elimelech, her name and Naomi's family's name and inheritance among God's Old Testament people. Now, I'm not going to say more about this. There were other provisions in the Old Testament law for redemption, also of property, of release from imprisonment, or indentured service where one had forfeited through whatever the circumstances one's property. A kinsman redeemer could come along and buy the property back and once again restore it to the name of the deceased. I don't want to get lost in the particulars here, brothers and sisters, but the basic point is, what's more important than continuing to have a name and place, an inheritance, to belong to, and share in all that which the Lord God grants his people in his covenant with them? Now, that's an aside in a manner of speaking, because what motivates Naomi is that Boaz should prove, upon meeting under these circumstances Ruth, to assume the obligation of a true kinsman, a true brother, who goes out of his way in loyalty to a fellow member of the covenant community at cost to his own interest to secure their interest. Looking out for the interest, notice that, of another above his own. Because as I've been suggesting as we go along, for a stalwart member of the Old Testament people of God, Israel, like Boaz, on the surface of things, this unnatural branch, this Moabite, Ruth, would not appear to be the most suitable, the most desirable, the most attractive and likely candidate for marriage. After all, she calls herself a stranger. But apparently, as we'll see, Boaz knows that the Lord has brought her out and restored her to his people through her return from Moab. And so a stranger no longer, but now a daughter of the true and living God who has taken up refuge under the wings of the Almighty, as we're told in chapter 2. But now back to the details of the story. To put it bluntly, Naomi, I called it a risky scheme, is placing her daughter-in-law, Ruth, and you can't read the language employed in the chapter, though commentators debate some of this back and forth. Never mind all of those debates. She puts Ruth in a rather, and Boaz for that matter as well, a rather perilous circumstance. Maybe this isn't a good expression to use at this point, but Naomi really sets things up with Ruth in such a way that this is a rather bold marriage proposal. This is a little bolder than putting in the Bethlehem Gazette a little notice. Young woman, widowed, recently returned from Moab by the name of Ruth. You've heard about her. They've been all the buzz in the city of Bethlehem regarding her. Seeking a husband. And preferably one from the family of her deceased husband, son of Elimelech. Husband of Naomi. Well, that would be sort of one step removed. What Naomi asks Ruth to do is clean yourself up, put on your best wedding dress, garment, make yourself presentable, and under, don't miss, the cover of darkness, stealthily, unbeknownst to Boaz, whom I'm told will be outside the city in the winnowing threshold area where the wheat or the barley is winnowed. And under the cover of midnight, we're told exactly at midnight, he becomes aware of this. She goes to the threshing floor and does just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. And did you notice it says, go and uncover his feet and lie down there. This is a wedding proposal. This is not dancing around what we're looking to achieve. This is going directly to the heart of the matter. Would you marry me and play the role of a kinsman redeemer? And anyone who is looking for a salacious story or one of these modern romance kind of stories with all sorts of stuff going on, you won't find it here. Because notice what happens. When Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, little wine makes glad the hearts, says the psalmist, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. And then she, that is Ruth, came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight, the man was startled by what? Presumably this young Moabite woman who suddenly appeared in the tent and at his feet. And behold, it says, he was startled, turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he says, who are you? And she answered, I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are what? A redeemer. Now, interestingly, if you were to read Ezekiel 16, verse 8, by way of example, you'll find this very language used for the Lord God of the covenant, who, like a husband, when he finds his bride, takes her, places her, same word is used, under his wings. It's the same word you find in chapter 2 where Ruth has determined to take up residence. Where you lodge, I will lodge, under the wings of the Lord of the covenant. She is asking, and Boaz obliges, that he should play in the name of the Lord of the covenant the role of a redeemer who seeks to secure the well-being of the one he redeems. He accepts her wedding proposal. She says to him, "Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." And what does Boaz do? And he said, "May you be blessed by the Lord." No kiss, no romance novel indelicacy. It's all very sober and probably not as titillating as some might like. He acts the part of a true son of the Lord of the covenant. He does not take advantage. And that certainly is in the context what one is led to fear. Now, our problem is we know the end of the story, so we don't live through the uncertainty of how this will play out. Because this could have played out rather differently if Boaz were a rather different member of the covenant community. He had every opportunity to act in a manner unbecoming. He doesn't do so. He's one who lives close to the Lord of the covenant, and he understands the predicament and the circumstance of this young Moabite woman, Ruth, and her mother-in-law, Naomi. "Blessed by the Lord may you be, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first." And the first was Ruth's willingness to go into the field of harvest at harvest time and to glean so as to provide for, out of her love and devotion to, not only the Lord of the covenant, but to her mother-in-law, a daughter in the covenant. You may recall I said to you early on in our consideration of this book, it's as the Apostle John says, "He who says he loves God, how can that be if a brother, sister, daughter, son near to you in need of your care and provision, you're indifferent to them? How can the love of God abide in such a person?" Well, the love of the Lord of the covenant for those whom he redeems is evident in Boaz. He says, "You have made this last kindness greater than the first, and that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich." There's a little bit of a hint in there that perhaps Boaz was not only a worthy man, but that included a man of mature years. So Ruth's proposal through Naomi's suggestion and scheme was not aimed at finding the best looking, the most handsome, the fellow who's just right by some worldly standard to serve as her husband. And Boaz is impressed that this newfound member of the covenant community from Moab, daughter-in-law of Naomi, would go to this length, put herself at such peril, to take a risk to secure her mother-in-law's and her father-in-law's name, property, and well-being, inheritance among God's people, by her readiness to take Boaz as her kinsman redeemer husband. "Now, my daughter, do not fear," says Boaz, "I will do for you all that you ask. For all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer. Yet there is a redeemer nearer than I." Just a quick note. In Deuteronomy 25, it's the brother of the deceased husband of the newly widowed sister-in-law. But the spirit of the law and in its application is such that the obligation is not always met by the nearest relative. And then it falls to and it summons others within the community to answer to the need and do for a sister what is necessary. And so Boaz is saying, I may not be the closest relative of Elimelech, Naomi's husband, who is called to fulfill the role of redeemer, kinsman redeemer, but I'm ready. I'm willing. I will do it. There is, however, the possibility of another, a closer relative. We're not told how close. Remain tonight and in the morning. If he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he's not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning. And then you see at the end of the chapter, a sort of replica of the end of the previous chapter, where he makes provisions for Ruth's return under circumstances where she will not be seen, might spoil her reputation, might get the community abuzz with gossip untrue and unkind. And not only that, but whereas in the previous chapter she came back from the field with 30 pounds thereabouts of the barley harvest, here she's given 6 measures of barley. And some commentators say you have to have a sense of humor to read this, because that's about twice what she had received in the previous chapter at the end. And so that wedding dress, in a manner of speaking, garment of hers, is now filled to overflowing with approximately 80 pounds. That's a heap of stuff to take back to tell your mother-in-law the good news that the proposal is received and he's ready to do what he's obligated, if necessary, to do. And there's no doubt that when we're told you must not go back empty-handed, says Boaz to Ruth, to your mother-in-law, that there's an echo of Naomi's complaint at the end of chapter 1. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. We're beginning to see that that's not the Lord's way with his people. They come to him empty, and they always return full. Now you may be saying to me this morning, Dr. Venema, you've used up all your time, and this was very interesting, quite a striking story indeed. Well, wait till next week, we'll get to the heart of it. A kinsman redeemer in Bethlehem. Sound familiar? A kinsman redeemer in Bethlehem. But I have just one or two things I'd like to say here by way of application. The first is, notice Boaz's readiness to do what was needed to secure redemption for Naomi and her husband's family, Ruth, and their descendants after them. He didn't have to. Was our Lord Jesus Christ under any obligation outside of himself to do for you what was needed to purchase your redemption? Or if I may put it in another way, from the other side, what did you have to show for yourself when you presented yourself before him in a manner of speaking? That he, as the bridegroom husband who should be willing to lay down his life for his bride. What kind of bride was she whom he took under his wings? Well, it was a bride very much like Israel, as Ezekiel 16 tells us, naked, bloody, unclean, unworthy. You were as far removed and as unlikely a candidate for him to say that he should be ready. I will stop at nothing. The matter must be settled today out of his steadfast love for us. And that alone was he willing to be our kinsman redeemer. The other thing is this. When you meet Christ, your kinsman redeemer, within the circle of God's people, the church, you often meet him, see him, in a manner of speaking, in the person of your brothers and your sisters within the household of faith. For we are called as God's people, bought with the blood of Jesus at a very great price, though altogether unworthily, strangers brought in from the outside. To show a similar kindness toward one another. To look out for the interests of each other. In this congregation, is it your heart's desire and prayer to God that the children, the young people, the men and women, this generation and the generation coming, I am willing to do whatever it takes, whatever opportunity needs to be seized upon, to ensure that they with me continue to have a name and a place among God's people. That they continue to see the inheritance which is ours in Christ become the inheritance of their children and their children's children. Now, the covenant relationship is not a matter of genetics. It's not a natural relationship. It's born of grace. But the God of the covenant, in his grace, does not ignore family, marriage, the household of faith, which is the church, the bride of Christ, and brothers and sisters belonging to one household who are obliged. Remember when we started in chapter 1, how important it was to Ruth's commitment, her conversion, that with the Lord of the covenant, I get his people and they get me. And they should receive me accordingly. Even as I have been received, they should look out for my interest accordingly, even as Christ has looked out for my need. So the question is, not only do you see in this something of the figure of your kinsman redeemer in Boaz, but do you find yourself reminded of the obligations that are ours within the household of faith to seek our brother and our sisters and their children's children preservation and inheritance among the people of God in this place. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Father, that you are a God who redeems a people, that you redeem us through our elder brother, our kinsman, according to the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we see in Boaz something of a prefigurement of the greater Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. May we see ourselves also in the way in which you incorporate, embrace, pledge yourself to and provide under the shadow of your wings Naomi, Ruth, the family of Elimelech, their name and place, their inheritance among your people. May also in our dealings with one another, may we show such kindness, such loving kindness and care and keeping of each other in the family of God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.